Yes. Hello. Hello. Good day. Good Sunday. Happy Mother's Day to all the women wrestling fans out there. And even if your mama may not even be a wrestling fan, you know, happy Mother's Day to her. You know what I'm saying? It's important that we acknowledge all mothers. I'm not here to judge how good or bad you are at it. You dig what I'm saying? So, but I am here to judge and talk about some wrestling because Backlash has just happened. It's officially in the books. And there's quite a few new stories developing, I guess you could say, at least in the world of the WWE specifically. One better not. And we are going to talk about that in great detail today. So, man, please get ready. Adjust your ears and your minds as well as your devices if necessary. It is time for the first Black Champ podcast. I am your podcast intercontinental champion, and they call me Cam from the Port.
And I am JR Bang. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download to the Barbershop Network, home of First Black Champ. Make sure you follow us on everything, the FBC POD. Go ahead and get that merch. Summer's here. Go ahead and get suited up with us. And shouts out to the Brick Cave crew and everybody that slid up or down into St. Louis for Backlash yesterday. It ain't a lot to talk about in wrestling. That ain't have nothing to do with what happened last night.
Yeah.
So we gonna go ahead and get started. Just talking about the pay-per-view in general. Mm-hmm. What was your thoughts on the premium live event? Did this feel like a premium live event? Was the St. Louis crowd better than we imagined? Like, what was your thoughts on Backlash as a whole?
You know, for Backlash, I'll be honest, it didn't really have, as they say, the big fight feel. It definitely was a high-spirited event. Shout again, man, hey, listen, UK tour really stunned on America, so American crowds have been great. I will say, I believe the St. Louis crowd was great as well last night. But no, did it feel like a PLE? No, it felt like a really action-packed Raw. Or SmackDown with me, maybe without like less vignettes and less just segments, but I don't think it was a bad show either.
Yeah, nah. Real quick, I'm gonna just say that first of all, shouts out to the St. Louis crowd. St. Louis crowd was phenomenal. It did feel like a glorified house show.
There you go.
It felt like a glorified house show. It felt like a Saturday night's main event, or maybe even a Saturday night's main event. Mm-hmm. There was like shouts out to Travail. Travail was like, I wonder if any returns or predictions was going to happen. I had told him Jeff Cobb seems like the one, and we're going to get into that in a second. But didn't feel like I was going to expect anything. So hopefully it was getting a good wrestling show. And for the most part, I think we got a good wrestling show. Like, I think that every match did what it was supposed to do. But it was certain things in there that I can nitpick. And I am going to nitpick today. Bang don't necessarily nitpick, ladies and gentlemen. Today, I had a lot of stuff that I can nitpick on. And some of these things y'all might agree with me. Some of these things y'all might not agree with me.
Yeah.
But that's the beauty of the show. That's the beauty of the FBC community. So we're gonna go ahead and get started with the first match of the night. The fatal four-way match, Jacob Fatu, Drew McIntyre, Damian Priest, and LA Knight, and the debuting Jeff Cobb. Jeff Cobb, who's been at New Japan Pro Wrestling for years. Even a couple of weeks ago said, I'm retired. You know, he's all on social media, like I'm retired and everything, but he ain't retired. He's down with, I won't say the bloodline. I won't call him the bloodline. Mm-hmm. But what I will say, is that he's down with Solo. And Jacob is looking like, okay, what's going on now?
Yeah.
For those who might not know, in the Indies, Jacob Fatu and Jeff Cobb has had plenty of matches so they can hone in on that or whatever. But As far as the match go, I thought it was a pretty dope match. I thought that Jacob Fatu did what he was supposed to do. LA Knight did what he was supposed to do. Damian Priest and Drew McIntyre, they all did what they were supposed to do. In the words of our main man, the Big E, it was big, meaty men bumping meat, and it was a fatal four-way of that. Pause on all of that. But when Jeb Cobb comes in and that's how we ended, I'm not mad at the ending, but I am going to nitpick. But before I nitpick, Kemp, what was your thoughts on the match and the debut on Jeff Cobb?
Yeah. So even though I'm a little exhausted on all of these pairings, right? I'm exhausted on Drew versus Damian Priest, exhausted on just the saga that is Jacob Fatu and LA Knight. I do agree with you though. Everybody did what they were supposed to do. Like, again, spots, energy, chemistry. I see why they keep giving us these guys in these matches, or like whether they're together, separate, tag, whatever, because it makes sense. They are delivering every single time, but I'm just exhausted because I kind of know the ending of this story. You know, there hasn't been one ending from any of the matches regarding any of these four individuals where I've been like, oh, shoot. Oh, then they did that. Like, instead, like, it's just like, okay, I get it. And with that, it's not again, it's not a bad thing. So I don't want to seem like I am being, I guess, pessimistic, but or just like I like needy, but I would like more from the situation.
I didn't realize how Jeff Cobb was smaller than mostly everybody.
Man, facts.
I didn't realize it. As somebody who's watched Jeff Cobb and New Japan Pro Wrestling, and I had went last year. He was not on the bill this year. He popped up. But seeing him in person at Windy City Riot, he looked like a little small Tasmanian devil. Like when he hit LA Knight, and I was like, oh shit, Jeff Cobb did come. And then when he jumped over and then he was standing next to Solo, I was like, oh, Jeff Cobb, small. Oh, like a little Tasmanian devil. And his facial expression just was like there. It wasn't like, that's also I'm nitpicking. It wasn't like he gave us the real strong.
Yeah.
With the sweat, the wet hair and the sweat. And Jacob Fatu, like Jacob Fatu, he was looking like I was looking.
Yeah.
What dude doing here?
Yeah. Yes, I will say that was the one piece that I was like, okay. I'm not sure how wrestlers are selling their appearance or introduction anymore. I'm now unclear. Especially after like the last year and a half, I'm unclear on who has the art of selling here when new wrestlers debut and when new wrestlers just reemerge. I don't know if it's the person themselves that's debuting. I don't know if it's the person that they're in the ring with. I don't know if it's the crowd, but I would say, man, Solo, in all honesty, Solo might have been the actual last like great appearance, like emerging, and that's no slight to Jacob Fatu, because he came in as a house on fire. Like when you look back, it was like, oh no, he got busy, but it was kind of like, whoa, wait, what's happening? Like what's going on? Versus Solo had the moment. And it was kind of like, oh, wow, that's Solo. That's the street champ. That's blah, 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 blah. And then, like, they rattled off, like, a lot. And then it was just the moment of him being there and actually helping a situation, like, being very active as far as Roman Reigns keeping his title. I don't think we've had anything at that magnitude, I guess, since then.
Yeah, because Jacob didn't cost nobody the world title. Solo did. This was also at a PLE where this was overseas. So folks was like, yo, Drew McIntyre about to get the belt. And it looked like he was about to get the belt. That was a real true swerve.
Yeah.
Jacob came in just whooping everybody ass. It ain't matter if that shit was this Tuesday in Texas or Royal Rumble or goddamn, you know, Taboo Tuesday, Cyber. Something. Like, that man came in and was like, yo, who ass I'm beating today? Whereas, for me, I had hit the solo real quick. Speaking of solo, but for me, I agree with you. Like, he came in and he cost Drew McIntyre the belt. Jacob Fatu didn't, but he still made noise, right? It's like, oh yeah. Shit. But, and this is nothing against Jeff Cobb, because Triple H, let Triple H tell it, like, yo, this ain't over yet. Like expect, but, and this is where, this is why I say it's nitpicking. Because when I saw Jeff Cobb, I saw Taz.
Mm.
And you know what they did to Taz. You know what they did to Taz.
Yeah.
Jeff Cobb ain't no bitch, ladies and gentlemen. Let me let you know. But those who might not know about Jeff Cobb ain't no bitch. This is a Olympic power lifter. Mm-hmm. This is a strong-ass dude, fam. He will suplex the life out of you. Who is that, though, outside of the power lifter shit? Who is also that? Taz. Yeah. And Triple H played a part in Taz being too small, too short to box with God, so to speak. Yeah. So I'm not so sure about Jeff Cobb, because the WWE historically has made me unsure about wrestlers like Jeff Cobb.
Mm-hmm.
And we do know how this story ends.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. And this is probably a scorching hot take, so you know, you guys get ready. I also don't believe that specifically the WWE main roster is the greatest place to put the light on, elevate, or highlight great indie rivalries, matchups, trilogies, et cetera, et cetera. I just don't think the WWE is the best place. Maybe NXT. Maybe NXT at best, but no, like, none of the other main rosters, Raw, SmackDown, Premium Live Events. I don't think it's the greatest place, because a lot of times what I do, especially when I don't be knowing cats, I'll hop on YouTube and I'll watch the original matches and I'm like, yeah, the E didn't smoke that. Like, I'll do the due diligence. When I don't know, I'll at least do the respect of going back. I'm like, well, let's see what they did at Ring of Honor or in New Japan or wherever. And I'd be like, oh yeah, no, it was a bigger budget, but the E didn't do a better job than that. So not only do I feel you on the Taz piece, I also am just in that space where it's like, I'm kind of sour on the aspect of the E even doing that shit that we've already seen before, at a high quality. Like, it's for the things that make you a household name. That's one thing. Hold on, I want to say it, and now I'll clean it up, and then I'll say this. I don't think the WWE is great at revitalizing the household name or solidifying it. I think they're great at creating their own, but I don't think they're good at getting the bigger platform for the household names you already know in your house.
And part of that is because they give them a whole nother name. Like, that's part of the reason is because, like, Finn Balor wouldn't have been Finn Balor if he was Prince Devitt in the WWE.
Yeah.
Like, that's the part of the WWE camera is not just about making a nigga look different than he did in another one. Like, the cameras look different. It's also just about the branding side of it, too. Mm-hmm. So, like, for a wrestling fan, they know who Jeff Cobb is. What we saw was Jeff Cobb. A power lifter who will suplex you that WWE wise, not in the best shape, but everywhere else he is. Cause low key, the first thing that I noticed when he debuted was he had the medium black shirt. I saw his belly a little bit. And I was like, ooh, that ain't no, like, that ain't normally, like, he should have wore a hoodie. That's all I was thinking, like, he should have wore a hoodie over. But again, this is nitpicking. And even with the Solo story, I don't know what Jeff Cobb brings to this. I'm kind of excited to see. Kind of not. But it's all because of the person that won the Fatal 4-Way last night, Jacob Fatu. Anytime Jacob Fatu gets in the ring, he proves that he's a star.
Yeah, for sure.
So much so, I'm scared for him to move up in the in on the card. Because there are wrestlers who we just love, that's mid-carder. And then they get to the top of the card, and we be like, oh, we was wrong.
Yeah, no, I get you.
Rusev is the perfect example. When Rusev debuted, fuck when he debuted on the main roster. When I saw Rusev on NXT, when he was looking like a Flintstone, because he was out there wrestling with no shoes on, and he had the Yabba Dabba Doo skirt.
Yeah, for sure.
And the long hair. I said then, yo, this nigga scared. I like this nigga. And when this nigga beat, when Rusev beat the shit out of Xavier Woods, I said, yeah, he gonna be one. He got Lana on the side of him. She got the 8-inch heels, it feels like. She a bad white blonde chick. He look like Fred Flintstone. Like Fred and Wim about to get it. And when he debuted on the main roster, I said, nigga, future world champion. And when he went on the winning streak, won the United States Championship, went on the winning streak, I said, yup. And they gave him the Cena. And I said, he ain't going to be the same. And I was right. Rusev is one of those people to me. I still think Rusev could be a world champion now, especially when we got the Super Intercontinental Championship. But where Rusev is right now, I don't know. I think he could still do it, though. I still think he could get to it. I still think you could put whatever that championship is, that Super Intercontinental Championship, put that belt on him and make Rusev the redeemer. He kind of is. They use the word redeem a little bit, retool.
Yeah.
I do it. I don't see that in Jeff Cobb in the WWE, though.
Yeah, no. For me.
Wait, real quick. Real quick. Because I just saw Donnie's comment. When he start lifting niggas off their feet, we'll see. He ain't did that yet.
Yeah, nah.
But when he do, we gonna see how it looks on the WWE camp and how they do it. Because, as I said, he suplexed the life out of your ass. For somebody who loves to see suplexes, power plexes, belly to backs, belly to bellies, all of that shit, he gonna give you those. I just don't know how that looks on the WWE camera, and it's the WWE's fault.
Yeah.
Because they told us Taz won shit. Now you bringing Jeff Cobb in.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why. I'm a fan of Jeff Cobb, ladies and gentlemen. Don't think I'm not. But they told us Taz wasn't shit. They told us Taz was too small. They told us Taz ain't have no charisma. They told us all of that to the point that they put his ass on the goddamn announcer's table with Michael Cole. That's what they did.
Yeah.
So, how you gonna show me that Jeff Cobb gonna be any different? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and you know what? And what I was gonna say, I mean, and this is in regard to Jeff Cobb, this is in regards to Rusev, this is right now for this style of wrestler, and this is, I'm just going by the WWE, so y'all please don't single me out on this, but Jacob Fatu is the best version of all of the prototypes of that wrestler. So if anybody's going to get the nod to get the Super Intercontinental title, to main event a PLE or Raw or SmackDown, it's going to be Jacob Fatu. And
oh,
that
shit.
And that's the unfortunate part.
Shit. Whoa.
Oh, wow. Oh, whoa.
Whoa. We stopped. We stopped for this.
Damn. Hold on.
We stopped for this. Oh, man. And I think he just wrestled a couple of days ago, and he didn't, like a couple of weeks ago, and didn't look good. Yeah. But according to reports, one of the most reckless, one of the wildest, one of the most unpredictable wrestlers in our history reportedly has passed away. Sabu, ladies and gentlemen, Sabu, who we know from his days at ECW, a former ECW heavyweight champion, former NWA world champion, his uncle, the Sheik. Like, this dude is one of the kings of the death matches. Reportedly has passed away at the age of 60. Reportedly at the age of 60. For any of us who grew up watching ECW, you saw Sabu with Rob Van Dam and Bill Alfonso, you know, doing that shit and everything, and having some of the wildest matches. If you go any deeper, and you trade, or you looked at any magazines, you saw him overseas in Japan having wild matches with Mick Foley and you know, Terry Funk and other people at Frontier Arts, doing the exploding matches and the barbed wire matches and all of that. Man, this is definitely something to pause the show a bit to talk about the legend that is Sabu. So let's talk about where you first saw Sabu and hearing his news.
Yeah, man. First time I saw Sabu, it was a random Saturday afternoon, and ECW came on as I'm flipping through the channels. This is one of the first times I've seen ECW as well, so I didn't even know to check for it. And wildly enough, it was Rob Van Dam versus Sabu. And so, what's my man Joey Styles, when he goes like, the homicidal, genocidal, suicidal of Sabu, and then and he came out, and they were having this match. This was the first time I seen the Van Daminator, and I was like, oh, first of all, this guy's my new favorite wrestler. Because to throw a chair and then to like do the Van Dam kick, like the reverse roundhouse shit, was fire. But for me also, though, Sabu is one of the people that kind of brought me back to reality about how real wrestling can be. I put Sabu in the category with Cactus Jack, with New Jack, with Terry Funk and Stan Hansen, and Vader. And I say that to say, these are the guys that when they're doing it, it looks planned, but it doesn't look scripted. And I think Sabu is one of the just the shining stars of that. Because, like, hey, for me, I ain't going to lie, and this might be bitch moment of 2025 for me as far as this podcast is concerned. I've seen some Sabu matches where I'm like, oh, shit. And I've had to turn away like, dog, that, like, you know how you like your heart like start like vibrating or like tearing or whatever? Like, I've seen that so many times in Sabu matches that I'll keep it real. I had to not watch a couple of his matches, or had to pause them to just be like, whoa, what did I just watch? But I say that to say, what a hell of an entertainer. For me, Van Dam, Sabu, I think that's top tier ECW. If anybody was to ever truly ask me what is ECW really about, I literally go to just their feud in general. I know that sometimes we get lost in translation with like a lot of the death defying stuff and stuff you see on Dark Side of the Ring, but Sabu, Rob Van Dam, and the Dudleys, when you're talking about ECW for me, and that's with respect to Tommy Dreamer, but I'm talking about just like the epitome of just what it is as far as matches, how far they can go, how entertaining they can be, how death-defying they look. those three. And I don't think you, I don't think we give enough credit to Sabu for ECW's popularity, because of just, I guess, the other just forward-facing, English-speaking, maybe willing to do more fanfare type of individuals. But I got he's up there, and this is sad. This is unfortunate. Wild to live, and wildly enough, 60 is young. But man, to live like that and do those type of matches at that clip, even from like again a week or two ago, because I saw it on YouTube and Instagram as well. Man, props to live until 60 doing that.
Yeah. Sabu definitely is who, like him, Rob Van Dam, the Triple Threat, Lance Storm. Like, those are the people who got me into ECW. And I want to say it was Rob Van Dam and Sabu versus Chris Candido and Lance Storm.
Mm.
When I say anticipated, I can't remember what pay-per-view it was. Can't remember what pay-per-view it was, but when I tell you, because I'm trying to look at it, or maybe it was just TV, but when I tell you that is one of my favorite matches of all time, seeing those four wrestle, those four, because when I started getting into ECW, and even when like everybody's doing these Mount Rushmores.
Yeah.
For me, my Mount Rushmore is who got me into something, who made me love something, not necessarily what the masses feel.
Yeah.
I can tell you right now, and I'm loading up this Mount Rushmore. I'm loading mine up because Taz is on my Mount Rushmore. Raven is on my Mount Rushmore. The Triple Threat is on my Mount Rushmore. And even with Raven, Tommy Dreamer with Raven. Because that feud, because I remember watching ECW and seeing Raven crucifixed on the cage and Tommy Dreamer hitting him in the head with the chair. Both of those are together on the Mount Rushmore. Together.
Mm.
The Triple Threat. Any version of it.
Mm-hmm.
Shane Douglas. Lance Storm. Chris Candido. Bam Bam Bigelow. Any version of it. Do it. Paul Heyman. And together. Taz. Rob Van Dam. And Sabu. Because at that one moment in time where Bill Alfonso had all three of them, it was lit. It was lit. And I am telling you, like, for anybody who want to know about the legacy of Sabu, go on Peacock. Go on Peacock and go to ECW. Go and look at ECW. Go look at Sabu matches. Go look at Sabu and Rob Van Dam. Go look at Sabu and Rob Van Dam versus Chris Candido and Lance Storm. Go look at Sabu versus Chris Jericho. Go look at all of those. Like, that is Mount Rushmore. I don't care about the cruiserweights. Never really cared about the cruiserweights.
Yeah, respectfully.
They was there, respectfully. They was cool. They was there. I was not a big Sandman guy. That's cool. All that. New Jack, I wasn't really a fan of New Jack like that. Outside of New Jack being black, I wasn't a real fan of New Jack like that because the matches be so short and that thing.
Yeah.
I bet. All right, cool. But when I think of ECW, I think of Shane Douglas, Taz, Bam Bam Bigelow, Rob Van Dam, Lance Storm, Chris Candido, Dudley Boys, Sabu,
yeah,
Paul Heyman. That's who I think of. That's who I meant to watch it. Watch those four. That's who I loved. I loved all of them. So this is one of those situations where you definitely feel like you lost part of your childhood. And in this case, you lost part of your teenage years.
Yeah.
Because, man, Sabu, you didn't feel like he was going to live a long time. No, you did not think he was going to be going up to the stage like Classy Freddie Blassie with a chair. What you did feel like, though, if he did make it past a certain age, he was going to try to whoop your ass in whatever contraption he's in. And a couple of weeks ago, we saw his ass wrestle and slide out the ring and hit his head.
Yeah, can't help but scary as fuck.
Right. Can't help but to think that help caused what we're talking about today. With that being said, if I don't know Sabu from a can of paint, I just know what I see in wrestling. And all I believe is that's the way he would want to go out.
Yeah.
No, and I'm if I can remember correctly, I think the next episode, actually, of Dark Side of the Ring is Sheik. I think the next episode of Dark Side of the Ring is the Sheik episode, again, which is Sabu's uncle. So very interesting what we're going to see there. But, man, I would say if you ain't no bitch, go look at some of them Frontier March matches. Because
yeah, for sure.
I'm with Camp on this one. Yo, I'd be watching some of those joints and be like,
yeah,
this nigga's by and knowing that a nigga broke his neck on one of them bitches. Like,
yeah,
like, yo, just do
it. Yeah, like, yeah. Be clear. It obviously ended up as bad as it looked on a lot of them spots.
So yeah, so man, rest in peace to Sabu. Prayers and condolences to his family and everybody who loved him. 60 years old. And yeah, let's get back to Backlash. But before, because we stopped it while we were talking about it, just to put a bow on the Fatal 4-Way match. We nay. How we feel about that match?
Well, I'm sorry. Which one again? I'm sorry.
The Fatal 4-Way.
Oh, Fatal 4. Oh, you know what? Hey, look, good match. I'm not here to hate. Out of five, because you know, five star matches, right? I'll give it a 3.5 just off of respect. Out of respect, because again, they didn't, as maybe bad reporters would say, they didn't win the game or lose the game. They just had the game.
Yeah. Hey. Simple, effective. There we go. Jacob Fatu wins in the debuting Jeff Cobb. Lyra Valkyra versus Becky Lynch. I'm going to start off, Kim.
Okay.
Because let me just say, there wasn't nothing wrong with this match. This was a good match.
Yeah.
This was a good enough match where my wife was sitting here watching it and was like, she's a Becky Lynch fan. And she was, oh, I love this match. This is a good match. What I hated about the match was not the ending, not the way that the pin went down. Was Becky Lynch keeping the disarmor on her, and the shit didn't look like she had the disarmor on. She looked like she was just holding her arm. She looked like she was taking a piss. That's what she looked like. She looked like she was holding a dick. She looked like she was holding a strap on. I was so pissed at that piece because I'm sitting there like, yo, pull that bitch up tighter or something, Becky. What are we doing here? She just holding that bitch like, but she don't have it in a way where Lyra would be like hurting or something. She just held that bitch. I was like, what are we doing here? To me, it ruined, because that's part of the storyline. I think it ruined what turned out to be a dope match with Lyra Valkyra and Becky Lynch, and helped putting her over as a decent intercontinental champion, because we thought she was just going to drop that bitch and they're going to give it to Becky.
Right.
But when Becky did not, the way that that match ended, Becky did not do a good job at holding her finisher and making it seem believable. Again, it looked like she was holding a strap on. So I'm not going to diss Lyra. I think Lyra did a great job. I'm not going to diss the match. It's all about the post matches, all about after the pin. Becky Lynch did a horrible job at selling or pushing what she was trying to do, which was hurt Lyra. She was just holding the arm like it was a strap on. And it pissed me off.
I'm glad you said that, because I felt that way about Becky's finisher for about 3 years now. the disarmer is, remember how y'all used to kill the sleeper and the leg drop?
Yeah.
I got the disarmer way above both of those. Like, literally, she's just holding an arm up. And I didn't realize how bad it looked until Becky versus Ronda Rousey. Because say what we want to say about Ronda Rousey, at least you know when she really an armbar versus not. And she is already bad at faking or scripting or selling, but she is pretty good at combat. And I love the fact when the manhandle slam was just a thing, because I was like, oh, great, we got her a real finisher, because I don't think anybody believes in the disarmer. And lo and behold, last night was just further confirmation of why I do not believe in it. I will not believe in it. Becky, please remove that from your arsenal and our television screens. I never want to see it again. It looked all time bad last night. So I am 1,000,000,000% with you. This is not a nitpick. This is a reality. I don't think a kid that is 5 years old looked at that and said, oh my God, she's hurting her. I don't think that happened at all last night. Let's never see it again, please.
Yeah, that's all I got for this match. Like, that's all I got for this match. This was just, yeah, let's move on. Out of respect. let's move on, man. Let's go to the third match of the night. Dominic Mysterio versus Penta for the Intercontinental Championship. Dominic gets the pin. El Grande Americano came through and head-butted Penta with the loaded mask. And Dominic Mysterio wins. I like the match. Okay. I like the match. I think this, again, did what it was supposed to do. I think that all of this does is continue to increase the legend of Dominic Mysterio, his saying that he's the greatest Intercontinental Champion after 5 minutes of having it and acknowledge it. I only had it for 5 minutes. I'm the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time.
You know what I'm saying?
And winning, continuing to win, no matter what, I fuck with it. I'm still not a fan of the El Grande Americano thing. Just not a fan of it. Only because I think that Chad Gable is better than this.
For sure.
And I think Chad Gable can do a El Grande Americano without wearing a mask. Like, literally, yeah. I think if it's Chad Gable, what Chad Gable said he was going to go, and he was going to go over and learn the ways of Lucha and all that stuff and then come back, I would have loved it if, and I know this is not going to happen because of the respect that we have for Luchas and the mask and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't have to be like Penta or Rey Fénix or anybody that wears a mask, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I would have loved it if Chad Gable just came back and said, all I want to do is be in mask versus hair matches. This is the ways of Lucha, and I just want to be in mask versus hair matches. Every match I'm going to do is going to be with a Lucha, and it's going to be a mask versus hair match. I'm going to unmask every wrestler that I wrestle. And then it leads up to Penta or Rey Fénix going up against Chad Gable. And then he gets the mask taken off, and it's a mask versus mask. He gets the mask taken off. If you go do it like this, El Grande Americano, but I don't want that. So you put his hair up on the line.
Yeah.
Somebody who used to have long locks, now he got the shortcut. Now put the hair on the line. Mask versus hair.
Yeah.
Go ahead and do that shit. And then boom. But this whole El Grande Americano, it's not Chad Gable, but nigga, we know it's Chad Gable. Nah.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. There's definitely some ways to make this a greater storyline. I feel you in the mask verse here, but like run the gauntlet. Like I want them to take like 3 masks. Like take a mask a month. You know what I'm saying? And be like, hey, because look, again, I do think the mariachi version of the preamble is fire.
That's the only thing that's fire.
That's the sell for me.
And, wait a minute. And the Titantron. That and the Titantron. Yeah. I'm sorry. All you woke niggas, I don't mind him being called from being billed from the Gulf of America.
Yeah.
With it. That part, that adds to the hilariousness of it. But after that, that's where it stops. Yeah. Like he could just take the motherfucking mask off, in my opinion. We know it's him. Take the motherfucking mask off and go take the person wrestling out of fucking Las Cruces, New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Take his mask. And then go next month, take another nigga mask.
Yeah.
Then go take another nigga mask. And then Penta or Rey Mysterio or Rey Fénix or all 3 of them band together and say, nah, fam, you ain't going to be disrespecting our culture like that. Yeah. And then they beat him and they cut his hair. Like, do that shit.
Yeah. No, hey, I promise to God, I was going to say the exact same thing. I don't care. I don't care if Chad Gable cut a promo with the mask in his hand and then put it on and then go out there and take somebody else's mask and then wear that mask before the next one and then take somebody else's mask. It's because it plays into so many universal things that's going on right now. Yes. That I'll be like, yo, like, he like he cut a body in this because this is what Trump think he gonna do. Right. Like he think he gonna go to Mexico City and Cancun and Puerto Rico and just gonna take whatever he want just because he's American. Yeah. That's what
Killer
Bees
this shit. Just Killer Bees it. Yeah. We know that's B. Blind Blair and Jim Brunzell. We know it's them.
Yeah.
But when you put the mask on, it's like, oh, which one of these two is which? Do it. Do it Killer Bee style. Put it if we don't. This ain't Chad Gable. Nigga, you the one who went and said, I'm about to go learn the ways of the lucha. Came back and became a lucha. No.
Yeah.
Look, dude, nigga, hey.
That's the epitome of cultural appropriation. Just like when white people go to Mexico and then buy ponchos and sombreros and buy salsa, they'd be like, oh my God, look at these. Like when they start calling pitas flatbread, it's the same thing. It's the same thing.
Cinco de Mayo. Hey. Y'all motherfuckers don't even know. Y'all just like, yo, let's get drunk.
Yeah, like play into it. Play into the Americano. Like really play into it. Because right now, it's not where it should be. Chad Gable, El Grande Americano, could be the hottest wrestler in the world right now if they do this right. And that's not me being like facetious and foreshadowing. That's not a real hot take, because look what's happening to wrestling right now. Dominic has did a 180 overnight, seemingly. Like people want to get behind polarizing characters. They want to get behind super compelling stories. They want to get behind audacity. Everything that Chad Gable could be doing with El Grande Americano could be super audacious. And they're not pulling the trigger. And that's kind of why it's like, why are you helping Dom at this point?
So, yeah, that's my only thing, y'all. Like, I would be good with El Grande Americano if he was just Chad Gable, put on that mask, and in the tent to go take the other nigga mask. Like, I would be.
And that would be fire.
Like, that would be don't fire. Have to act like he something that he ain't. No, he ain't got to do that. You don't have to do the Mr. America. You don't have to do the Yellow Dog. You don't have to do none of them shits. Like, no. And Chad Gable is amazing enough to pull it off. Gunther versus Pat McAfee. I don't think we have to talk much about this. We knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
Pat McAfee always handles himself well in the ring, and today was no exception. I didn't want to get this time to shout out Michael Cole, because Michael Cole learned from the Heidenreich situation. Like,
yeah, he learned. Ain't no more that taking it from me.
Yeah, he ain't about to let none of these wrestlers just push up on him. Like, nah, I'm going to fight back. For those who might not be old enough to remember it, go look up Hayden Reich and Michael Cole, where Michael Cole thought he was going to get raped by Hayden Reich.
That one episode of SmackDown, he did. At 30 years old. He was a ripe 30. That man cut him against that wall in the dark. and he breathed like he relieved himself on his cheeks. That's what it looked like he did.
Yeah. So, Michael Cole, we get it. All right, we get it. You like, hey, I ain't taking this no more. Fuck Gunther. I loved his pre-backlash promo. Where he went in, I like the fact that he tried to help his mans, but his mans end up losing as we expected. Shouts out to Pat McAfee for always being able to hold it down. Definitely top five celebrity wrestlers and everything. So there's that. Now, look, last match of the night, John Cena, Randy Orton. Not going to lie, the nostalgia kicked in. Mm-hmm. I have no problems with this match, Kent.
The
nostalgia kicked in, even like the end of it where everybody got RKO'd. The RKO party was in full effect. Mm-hmm. This ended exactly how I thought it was going to end. Now, at the end of the night, when John Cena said, "Turn off my music," he said, "He don't need no music. All I need is competition. Sure as hell don't need WWE Universe. St. Louis, pay attention, is going to be the last real champion y'all ever see." I even like what I saw afterwards when the cameras, when the PLE stopped, but they kept rolling the cameras. I even like seeing him go, "Damn, this is going to be my last time in this motherfucker."
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. I like it.
And what I expect tomorrow, what I would like to see tomorrow is CM Punk saying, "You want competition, I'm next." Mm. The reason why I would like to see it, because I'm telling you right now, Camp, if they put R-Truth versus John Cena and Money in the Bank June 7th, I have been trying to avoid that, saying that like the plague. Because remember a couple of weeks ago, or even a couple months ago when we first started talking about this, I said, "I hope he wins." Then when he wins, he starts digging in the crates. He starts wrestling some of the people that he used to wrestle.
Yeah.
CM Punk should get a shot. Randy Orton should get a spot. Shit, Brock Lesnar, bring that motherfucker back for one night. Mm-hmm. Let him. Everybody who Cena had some type of feud with, not name Shawn Michaels, Triple H, Undertaker, let him rock.
Yeah.
But if them niggas do John Cena versus R-Truth in any capacity, in any fucking capacity, I will find Triple H's number. I will diss Triple H and The Rock. Like how you say fuck Johnny Wrestling after every episode, before every episode end, it would be fuck Triple H. They better not do that shit for a couple of reasons. Camp, let me rock real quick.
For sure, what do you think?
I've been waiting on this since I saw that shit last night. Camp, remember when R-Truth and John Cena went against each other for the championship? Remember the little Jimmy shit?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
They buried R-Truth after that shit.
Yeah.
That's literally when R-Truth we know right now, the one we know right now, started when he lost to John Cena. He became a caricature of himself. It went from little Jimmy to him slowly acting like a stupid-ass dude. I ain't going to say anything else after that. Yeah. I'm not going to put him in those stereotypical racial undertone-ass names.
Yeah,
not going to do that. They just start making R-Truth a lot less smarter than he actually is. And it just grown and grown and grown and grown. Mm-hmm. When that man appeared in front of John Cena on SmackDown, I swallowed the biggest gulp pause of the nervous gulp pause that I ever had as a wrestling fan.
Okay.
Because all I was thinking was, man, they gonna put them two against each other at some shit like Money in the Bank or Saturday Night's Main Event, because you know R-Truth gonna lose. And they're gonna make it seem like, yo, he's now mad at his childhood hero and all of that shit, and then John Cena gonna whoop dude.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the same John Cena he went against. And everybody talk about Triple H versus Booker T. Don't nobody talk about John Cena versus R-Truth and how R-Truth could have been a transitional champion and then him losing the belt back to Cena. Because everything R-Truth before that, when he was pissed and going up at John Cena, he could have put R-Truth over like Rover and helped him out. But no, he beat that man, and we start seeing funny-ass R-Truth for the rest of the way. I don't want to see no fucking R-Truth versus John Cena. I don't want to see it in no capacity. I don't want to see it at Saturday Night's Main Event. I don't want to see it at Money in the Bank. I don't want to see it at this Tuesday in Texas. I don't want to see it at Cyber Tuesday. I don't want to see it at Taboo Tuesday. I don't want to see that motherfucker on Superstars, Main Event, Wrestling Challenge.
Velocity. Shotgun Saturday Night. Sunday Night Heat.
Fucking Sunday Night Heat. I don't want to see that shit on goddamn any main throwback event. WWE programming. I don't want to see that shit on none of them.
I got you.
I don't want to see it.
I dig it.
And if that happens in any capacity, it's fuck Triple H after, before or after you say fuck Johnny Wrestling.
I dig it. Well, let me get into my guarantee then, since you said that. Well, you'll be fine. This might help you out. So
I won't see it on nothing.
no Tuesday Night Titans either. So me paying attention to the last thing that John Cena said before the night ended, where he said to drink it in, St. Louis. That's got me thinking, bang, my guarantee is that the next opponent for John Cena is going to be Chris Jericho. And I think that was the call. I think that was the cat call to get Jericho.
Is Jericho contract up or done?
I think it will be, because it's damn near summer 2025. So, just throwing it out there. And, of course, you know, Jericho, it looked like he could do whatever he wants. And I'm not above him taking the 20-day contract to make sure that he get off a couple promos and one more WWE match. I don't think he's above doing that. And I don't think Paul.
So before you keep going.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jericho contract runs out in 2025.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that. I'm going to pause you for a sec.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to dismiss your guarantee now.
Yeah.
Well, ever. Because now that you said it, Chris Jericho did say he'd entertain coming back to the WWE.
Yep, and that was less than 30 days ago.
So, I don't know when his contract is up. I want to say it's up at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I won't say no to your guarantee now.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm going to up the ante on your guarantee.
Okay.
To where... if we do not get a notice that Chris Jericho has re-signed with AEW in any capacity between as we record this show and December 31st, 2025, John Cena's Royal Rumble main event, if he keeps it that long, depending, because things have changed.
Mm-hmm.
Things can change when it comes to when it comes to a farewell tour, it could change. Yep. I am going to guarantee to you, if John Cena is around December 31st, 2025, he will wrestle Chris Jericho again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to up your ante on that.
Okay. So, I think that was the cat call or the curtain call, if you will, because he's not trying to holler at him, you know. But, and I do think R-Truth is just going to be a part of the storyline now that is John Cena, and rightfully so. Now, are they going to have like a real match? I don't believe so. I don't believe so, at least not for the title. And to be real, I don't think R-Truth even wants that at this stage in the game. I do believe that he wants to work with John Cena in any capacity. And I think that he's also, John Cena saw how effective R-Truth was just for that quick stint of time with the Judgment Day and the work he's done with The Miz. I think that the type of work that can be into a storyline for R-Truth is so unconventional that literally it can fit for John Cena's story. Now, this is kind of a three-part guarantee. So my one, I think his next opponent, John Cena's next opponent, is going to be Chris Jericho.
Right.
The other part is R-Truth being just involved in the storyline. Now, part three of my guarantee for this week is the turn, because I'm glad you picked up on what I saw last night as John Cena left that arena in St. Louis. I do believe that R-Truth is now going to become the fans, much like Lil Jimmy was the fan for John Cena. But here's the caveat, though, Bang. I believe that the relationship will lead to John Cena being like, look, I'm trying to be here for you. I'm trying to do all the things that you want. I'm trying to be all things to all people. But you low-key disrespectful. I think part one of that was last night at the post-conference. He was like, bro, see, you was cool till you talking about I suck and I can't wrestle. Why are you speaking for them? That's going to get you put through this table. But now the flip side is, hey, look, I want to love y'all, but I ain't with no fuck shit. Like, and I do think that it, and I think that relationship in itself is going to lead us into summer and the second half, which is the last face run for John Cena. Because let's be clear, we don't want to boo John Cena, especially with less than what 25 appearances I think left. Like, we don't want to boo John Cena. And The Rock fucked us over. Let's just keep it a buck. The Rock fucked us over as wrestling fans. So now this, so second quarter was the damage control. Now third and fourth quarter, John Cena's got control of this a wholeheartedly 100%. I much rather see R-Truth and Cena than Rock and Cena and Rock and Travis Scott and Cena. All of that shit don't mean nothing to me. This is the wrestling. This is the WWE Universe shit. This is the farewell tour I think we all were looking for, and I think it starts Monday night, or I'm sorry, Friday night, because he's on SmackDown. But I do think that the double turn is here. I think the metaphor of R-Truth being the fans will be here, and I do think the next opponent for the title specifically is Chris Jericho. That is my guarantee for this week.
Okay, so look, I'm not, like I said, I believe in your guarantee, just not this early.
I feel you.
I do believe that I want to hope and pray. Let's just say this. I want to hope and pray that R-Truth is not involved in any match whatsoever for any belt, anything, any, no. And this is not this is not out of disrespect for R-Truth. It's out of respect for what they made that character.
Yeah, and I get you.
Since he wrestled John Cena. This is what y'all done. It is what it is. Call it a night and move on. If the goal was for us to be more upset at John Cena for calling him Ron and putting him through that table, I bet. If that's the goal, because you can't kick a kid in the face, but you can kick R-Truth in the face, I'm with it. But the minute you say R-Truth got to fight for his respect against John Cena at insert any event here, I'm pissed. No. Hell no. No. I mean, hell, what you gonna say how he earned the shit? Like, well, he just earned it because John Cena did this? No, fuck that. Hell no. Nah. Well, you want to say he earned it because he's a 25-time, what's the name,
champion? 24-7 champion.
Yeah, 24-7 champion. No, you didn't give this man the time of day. Mm-hmm. Even when he was at his hottest, when we was like, yo, he's the most over person in the company. That's why. Here's the other part about this. Here's the other part about this, ladies and gentlemen. R-Truth is the main reason why when they say this insert person here is the most over person in the company, this is why I always have pause to it, because of R-Truth. Because R-Truth at one point was the most popular person in the WWE, and that man ain't even sniff.
Yeah. Right by far.
Sniff one. Now, that being said, last night, John Cena told everybody to cut the music. I hope what I said comes true. Mm-hmm. Little by little, John Cena is going to strip us from what we come to know as John Cena. The Titantron is gone. It's just a black drop, white letters, John Cena. Generic font. He said, cut the music. I hope the next time he shows up on Raw, he just pops up. No music. Come out like Million Dollar Man at WrestleMania 4. No music. Come out like Million Dollar Man before he had money. Like, come out to win before that shit. Remember, Million Dollar Man didn't have no music for a while. He just walked out.
Yeah,
coming down the aisle.
Yeah, and look, he got money. Why do I need music? I got money.
Right. So, and funny enough, it is the 20th year anniversary of John Cena's album. Time is now. All that. So cut it off, niggas. 20 years. Shut that bitch off too. I eventually want to see John Cena in a black shirt, black jorts. Better black shoes, black socks.
No theme, better black shoes is great.
No,
that's funny.
No bands that got any text on it. No, I want John Cena to come out bare bones, as just his name is, John Cena. Go back in time. He can even wear the drawers he used to wear and just be generic. I want John Cena, every time he wins a match, to slowly strip away from what we know as John Cena, to basically say, this is the last time y'all going to see a real world's champion.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be the last time y'all see somebody as real as me. And each time y'all pull this bullshit, I'm taking some other shit off. And y'all just going to get bare bones. By the time John Cena and Cody Rhodes go up against each other, I want John Cena to look like a generic creator player on 2K.
Hey, you know, hey, anything is possible, I guess.
Yeah. But back to the R-Truth shit. Y'all motherfucker, the fat man, if this motherfucker, if he's the last match of any match, of any night, going up against John Cena, I tell y'all, boy, I hate The Rock.
Hey, but you know what? Even with that, I don't want to see Rock Cena 4 or 5 either, though. Like, I don't want to see that. So, I ain't gonna lie. You give me the option of Rock versus Cena or Cena versus R-Truth, I'm gonna pick Cena versus R-Truth. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Fuck you too, Chuck. I don't want to see it. Like, just don't. Like, I do not want to. And it's, again, it's because of what y'all did to R-Truth. Don't then try to make him a sympathetic figure and go up against John Cena for a championship. We know damn well he ain't going to win.
Nah, you got a point, though.
Like, that's like, to keep it a bean, fam. And this definitely is going to sound disrespectful. It's not.
Okay.
It's what y'all have done. Putting John Cena versus R-Truth in any capacity is like putting John Cena versus Barry Horowitz for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Oh, shoot.
You know goddamn well who going to win. Why are we even bullshitting? Like, why are we bullshitting? You want to do something? Do this. Just have them fight backstage. Not even a match. Just have them fight backstage. At least we know R-Truth. All right, fam, you fought for your... Yeah. But if you gonna tell me, that John Cena gonna wrestle R-Truth for the WWE Undisputed Championship when R-Truth got his ass beat by members of Judgment Day and still thought he was a member of Judgment Day. Now he gonna get the attitude adjustment at a scrum, and now he wants his revenge back. Fuck out of here, fam. No. I don't wanna see it. Your overall thoughts on the pay-per-view as a whole, man. We all said that there was a pretty good pay-per-view, stuff like that. Now that it's done, outside of John Cena versus anybody, what are you interested to see after this is done? Because you said a couple of new stories have emerged.
Yeah. So, well, first answer the first question. I thought overall pay-per-view again is good. I kind of feel you on the like glorified house show. Again, didn't have big fight feel. Didn't feel like marquee premium live event, but it was not a bad show. And I think that is the most important thing. For me, I'm looking for Finn Balor, Dirty Dom. I'm looking for that and the Judgment Day to kind of unravel or for them to I'm curious on if they're going to excommunicate Finn Balor or if Finn Balor is going to separate himself, because it kind of feels like he won't be jumped out. It just kind of feels like he's going to be like, man, fuck y'all. The aspect of that there are no leaders in this, and now you ain't in control of nothing. It's kind of like it's a great story to circle back to. So I want to see how they do it. So that's one. I feel like there is an extra story that's developing with Lyra and Becky Lynch, because I don't understand how that, out of all the women wrestlers, and I don't care where she's from, I don't understand how, out of all the wrestlers in the world that are women, how come that's the one she can't beat? when I think we could have made a case for a few other women for her to never beat, especially for a title. So I kind of want to see where that goes. Also, yeah, hey man, hey, look, I think John Cena, Chris Jericho is the next title match. Now, that's not to say that the next couple times that we see John Cena, he ain't going to be beating somebody else, and it might be R-Truth. I ain't saying that. But I think two storylines will be existing at one time, and I do believe that, again, John Cena and R-Truth kind of riding out at least the next 2 months. I think that's going to be a thing. Hey, look, he's taking too many RKOs, man. Randy Orton versus Nick Aldis will be a real storyline. That's gonna be a real storyline for SummerSlam. If that's my softball guarantee.
My softball guarantee. That is my guarantee.
Oh, hey.
Now we can make that bitch a guarantee.
Yeah.
Nick Aldis coming out next Friday. Like, all right, that's enough, Jack. You've touched me around my neck too many times, fam. You've put me in the ground too many times. I ain't even 40 yet, G. I can still go. Me, you, boom. He gonna come out there with the little robe and shit, with the boots, all that shit. No. Nick Aldis versus Randy Orton. Pencil that bitch in. I don't care where. I don't care if it's at SmackDown, Saturday night's main event, goddamn Money in the Bank. Nah. Nope. I want that. Nah, I want that. You arcade me too many goddamn times, G. Mm-hmm. We fight. Nah.
Not see, resort.
And the difference between the R-Truth and the Nick Aldis get back is Nick Aldis is an authority figure. R-Truth is a comedic figure.
Yeah.
Two different sides of the coin.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. For sure. Hey, and look, Nick Aldis has earned an opportunity to get one match in the E. He's definitely earned that. I mean, hey, look, depending on who you were asking, Nick Aldis might have started this longest reigning champ of the modern day era shit. You know what I'm saying? In NWA, before the tribal chief streak was really being recognized.
I'm here for it, Donnie.
Hey, yeah, absolutely. Or say that he RKO'd her in a different way.
I'm there for that too.
You know what I'm saying?
He probably did.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, listen. Hey, if they want to revamp the Triple H and Stephanie storyline, especially with how nasty Mickey James be wrestling, hey, I'm here for every single second of it. All right? I want to be crystal clear. So, yeah. Hey, listen. So that's what I took from the entire event. I don't want to call it premium, but that's what I took from the whole live event. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to seeing stories unfold. And not for nothing, even though there was no inclination of it during that event, but I think Money in the Bank might be fire this year, bro. I think Money in the Bank might be fire this year. Just saying.
It is the next PLE. So as we stand right now, who do you think is the odds on favorite to win the Money in the Bank right now?
Odds on favorite for Money in the Bank. If granted, I want somebody to actually cash it in and win again. Wildly enough, man, I'm kind of leaning towards Finn Balor.
God damn it, we on the same page.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning towards Finn Balor on that. Because the other two people I would have picked have belts right now. And that would have been Dom or Jacob.
So now that we are on the same page, I'm going to get us off the same page. I'm going to choose somebody else. Because Finn Balor was the first person I was thinking of. So I'm going to say Bron Breakker.
Okay. Hey,
put Bron Breakker in there.
Not mad at that from what they're doing right now. Not mad at that.
And here's why. And here's why. Because the last time Seth Rollins was in a situation like this, Kane put him on his shoulders to get that Money in the Bank for him. The way they're trying to position this group Seth is in, we could take that belt from Jay anytime we want to. As I said before, like, look, the situation, like, yo, Jay, there's really no respect for Jay being a champion when you got this group together.
Yeah.
I want to say Sami Zayn. Believe me, y'all, I want to say Sami Zayn because I feel like he needs to be in a position. And for Sami Zayn to hold that belt, For Sami Zayn to hold the Money in the Bank while his supposed best friend is the champ, puts everything into a conundrum. Like, yo, what do we do here? What do we, man, is he really going to try to take the belt from his friend? Like, yo, we ain't really homies like you. We ain't really homies like we say we are, fam. I'm going to take that belt from you one way or the other.
Yeah.
But I think it'd be more likely that we will see them wrestle instead of Sammy winning that. Now, I see Brando said Karrion Kross. He's the X factor here.
Mm.
I just feel like they're going to do something big with Karrion Kross. It just feels like something under the surface is bubbling. And when it happens, it's not going to be small, especially since we got the Super Intercontinental Championship. But because if you put that money in the bank with Seth Rollins and Bron Breakker, I think it's probably more likely that Bron Breakker would win it if I am switching from my spot, which both of us picked Finn Balor.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm not mad at the Bron Breakker pick at all, but I'm still going to lean to Finn Balor because, I mean, shit, even that still will include Finn Balor in some kind of way. So,
yeah. Now, women, Jay Cargill, no questions asked.
Really?
Will be, it ain't nobody else.
Mm-mm.
Like, to me, there's nobody else. They going to get that joint to Jay Cargill. Jay Cargill going to be walking around, strutting her stuff. Have the white women looking at her ass like that white lady was looking at her ass in that photo. She's just gonna have the money in the bank that with her. And she's gonna pick between Io Sky or Tiffy.
Mm-hmm.
But she will be the money in the bank winner. I think that's a foregone conclusion.
Mm.
That's not even a guarantee. That's like get that shit over with.
Right. I got Naomi. So and this will circle back around again. So I see your point. And and not for nothing, Jay's gotten pretty good. She's gotten a lot better. I'll say that. But man, to me, Money in the Bank this year is Naomi's to lose. I think out of everybody. That's just a woman, especially on their roster right now. I think that she's just doing an amazing job at this, the character change. Like even her music, like we might start seeing white boys fanboy over Naomi with the music change and the wild hair and the caution tape and the crack of her ass. Like, yo, that's some of their bag. So I don't know. I'm going to go with Naomi though. But I definitely see the Jay Cargill being, I mean, it's possible at this point. I mean, look, she's already been at WrestleMania. She's 1-0 at WrestleMania. She's obviously a main attraction. So it ain't far-fetched.
All right, well, we'll see. So, look, before we get out of here, hey, Trey, go upstairs and do this for your grandma, too. And go upstairs, because I didn't know she was going to be over here or not. Yeah. So, no passing out Mother's Day joints.
For
so
sure.
Look, man, it is Mother's Day. Trey, go upstairs. Take care of that so your grandma don't see it. Listen to your dad. It's Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day to all of the moms out there. Shouts out. Happy Mother's Day to the wife who's looking at a card right now. So happy Mother's Day to her. Happy Mother's Day to my mom who just walked down the backyard. Happy Mother's Day to your mother. Happy Mother's Day to all of the wrestling moms out there. Shouts out to Happy Mother's Day to all of the moms who put their kids on to wrestling. Does y'all day get the big piece of chicken?
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. And obviously rest in peace to my grandmother's. Happy Mother's Day to her and my other grandmother. My grandma Joyce passed on my mom's birthday last year. Obviously, happy Mother's Day to your mom who was didn't recognize me, but was excited to see me at the wedding.
It's a stroke.
You know what I'm saying? And as well as your wife, I gotta say, even though I'm about to see her literally like in less than an hour, happy Mother's Day to my new mother-in-law. I already talked to my mom this morning. She wants to watch Murder and Mayhem from the privacy and comfort of her own home. So that's what she's going to do. Happy Mother's Day to you, Mom. You know, the Court TV, True TV, Real TV. She watches all that nonstop. That's why she's so scary. But I love my mom. I'll let her cook. Right. and take time to appreciate all mothers out there. We hope yours has a very special Mother's Day. And we thank you all for checking out this episode of the First Black Champ Podcast. Man, listen, this community, one of a kind. And that's just the way we like it. All of you, with your likes, comments, shares, questions, rumor, and you window showing up to the events, giving us recap, giving us exclusive content, photos from when you go into the PLEs or just house shows or Bra and SmackDown. Man, it's appreciated. Thank you so much for doing that. Thank you so much for contributing to this community. You are what makes it that much special. And we truly, gratefully, and humbly thank you. So remember, if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the First Black Champ Podcast. It's the pick with the VP, DOC, and we are out. Fuck Johnny Wrestling, and happy Mother's Day to you hoes with kids.
And I hope I ain't got to say nothing about Triple H, y'all.
Yeah.